And we are back on the fly at the IAC Pavilion, and we are talking about all things aerobatic, and specifically right now we're going to discuss the development of a freestyle performance. Jim Burke is kind enough to join us today, and he's an unlimited competitor. Jim, what goes into developing a freestyle? And you told me that that's one of the reasons that you wanted to fly advanced was so that you could design your own program.
Well, yes, I just absolutely love the event. We get 4 minutes, and that's the primary thing to consider when you're trying to design the program, is you have 4 minutes, and that's not a lot of time. So you have to throw out anything that you would like to do that takes longer than 20 or 30 seconds in an individual maneuver. You want to find maneuvers that are quick and that also can join together really well. And I think that's the trick. If you can do 10 or 12 really good maneuvers, you're going to score well on the four-minute freestyle. But if you try and do some things that would each themselves take 40 seconds, then you're not going to have enough things in your freestyle to interest the judges. So first of all, it's the time crunch is the thing you have to think about. The next thing you think about is the music. You try and find some music that will appeal to all the judges. So you have to throw out maybe what your favorite band is or something that's a little too edgy, but you also want to have anything that puts people to sleep. So you try and find some music that will work really well. And after that, you're working within the limits of the aircraft. I fly an extra 330LX. It's a fabulous airplane. It's certainly the best I've had. I've had several unlimited quality aerobatic aircraft.
This is your airplane right out front here,
right? Yeah, it's
the
blue and orange one out there.
With the funny little thing on the
tail.
Yeah,
it is, yeah. And it's capable of pretty much anything that the airshow aircraft out there that you'll see today can do. So I'm not very limited by the airplane, but there's always some limits. So you try and find those limits, and you try and put together figures that people just haven't seen very often, even in air shows. You try and come up with things that are new. You try and put them in different ways. I try and do some things that that I haven't seen before from other people. Try to work out some different things, and I think it does. I think it's pretty. You know, that's what you're going for, is to make something that's really attractive and really.
It's artistic.
It is entirely an artistic presentation. The judges don't have anything to go off of besides how it feels to them, and that's what's neat about it, because the rest of the competition is very rigid. We're scored according to how correct our 45 degree lines are. Are they exactly 45? Because if they're 46, we get a deduction. And that's it's fun in its way, but the freedom of the 4 minute freestyle is what appeals to me.
I mean, you can make parallels right away to figure skating.
It is very similar. Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's the difference, I suppose, is that I don't know if they're constrained to the exact time. I think in figure skating they have like compulsories maybe more often, but we just really have 4 minutes, just to do what makes the most sense for us. So we get to blow the smoke around, and
you
got to
stay in the box.
At the 4 minute freestyle, we don't. You're right, in the rest of the competition.
Oh, okay.
But in the freestyle, we have more freedom. Oh. As long as we're within the wavered airspace, we can continue. That's a nice thing about it, too.
How big is the wavered airspace compared to a box?
Typically, the wavered airspace would be 1,000 or 2,000 feet on each side of the box, larger than the box itself.
And the box is usually?
The box is 1,000 meters, which let's just say is 3,000 feet by 3,000 feet.
Okay.
It's not very big.
No.
When you watch the air shows here, and they're dealing with what, I don't know, this is a 5,000, I don't even know, but let's say it's a 5,000-foot runway, and they're going beyond the extent of that. We're dealing with 3,000 feet, and that's why we pull so many Gs in competition. We have to. If we're doing 200 miles an hour, 250 miles an hour straight down, and we want to pull level and then do another figure that has a 45-degree line, it has to come down. It has to all stay in the box. So we have to pull very, very hard and keep our speed under control for the to make it into competition.
So with that, I can see why you might like the expanded space to do a little bit more.
It's liberating. After three flights in a competition environment where you're scored according to all these really precise requirements, it's really fun to go out there and just have a good time with the airplane and show what you can do with it. Yeah, it's great.
That's very cool. And on the other end of that spectrum, we have the primary, the entry level, and Mike and I were talking earlier about the airplanes out here, the basic airplanes, like the Citabrias and the Decathlons. But one thing we didn't touch on is the home-built community and their aerobatic abilities.
Yeah, and I have to say that it was the home-built movement, the movement that Paul Poberesny built, that made aerobatics what it is today in this country, because the plans for the Pitt Special were introduced by Curtis Pitts in 1962. $100, you could get you a set of plans, and it just took off. And, there was some train, and then along came the Citabria in the mid-60s. So then there was a certified trainer that schools could use. the pit special was introduced, and then all of a sudden aerobatics and an IAC in 1970 just took off because those airplanes were available to us. But you're going to talk to Ron Schreck here, who's is part of a home-built aircraft community that's absolutely enormous, and that's the Vans, the RV series. And what we're really hoping to see is more RV pilots come over and join us in on the fun with those of us that are over here in the aerobatic world.
It seems like there'd be an opportunity for a partnership there.
Oh, yeah. I that's what we believe.
Yeah.
And Ron is really spearheading that. So
excellent.
You're talking to the right guy.
Ron, did you build your RV?
I did. Took about 3.5 years, and I've got 2,000 hours on the airplane now, so we've been together for about 10 years flying.
How long did it take you to build it? And what model is it?
It's an RV-8, and 3.5 years of building time is probably about the average build time for an RV. I've seen people build them in less than a year. I have a neighbor that built an RV-4 in 22.5 years.
Whoa. So,
became a lifelong project. Sometimes we measure it by how many moves and how many divorces you go through in the process, but 3.5 years is pretty average.
Did you have any building abilities before? Had you ever done anything like that before you built your RV?
I helped a friend of mine build an airplane before. Not very successful at that, but really the RV was my first real attempt at it. And it doesn't take any particular skills. You learn the skills as you go along. You start easy with an empennage kit where you learn the basic skills of metalwork and riveting, a little fiberglass work, and then you move on to the wings and the fuselage, and so you learn as you go. And by the end of the whole project, you've learned how to do metalwork, you've learned fiberglass work, you've learned a little about electronics, hydraulics, and avionics. So it's an educational process, and that's the whole reason behind the experimental aircraft building program is it's an educational project, and the RV-8 is a perfect example of that.
That's why you're allowed to do your own condition inspections.
You can do your own condition inspection. You're given a repairman certificate for that particular airplane to do your own annual inspections or condition inspections, as they're called. So if you build it, you can maintain it.
Now, there are, I actually heard Van earlier this week during a show or presentation, and there are thousands, literally thousands of RVs out flying in the community today, and many more of them are being built. And I remember he was talking specifically about the RV-6. They stopped production of it but to replace it with the RV-7, but thought, you know, if they'd have kept selling the RV-6, they probably could have sold a ton more of them. So when it comes to aerobatics, though, do most people – I know the RV-3s were very popular for single-seat aerobatics, and they had some issues, but they fixed those issues with the wing. Do you specifically remember? There was an issue with the redesign
of the wing spar, I believe.
That's what it was,
I'm not
and they attached
well-versed on it, but, yes, there's a RV-3B, which has a redesigned wing. But there are many RV
because people
models
really
that are aerobatically capable. You got the RV 3, 4, 6, 7, and 8, which are the aerobatic models. And most of those are stressed to about 6 Gs positive and 3 Gs negative. And if you're looking at the total population of RVs, there are, I think, well over 9,500 of them flying, and over 7,000 of those are aerobatic capable airplanes.
Every single one of those people should be an IAC.
I'd like to see that. If we could get a small percentage, it would be wonderful. I'm sure IAC and Mike Ure here is looking at those 7,000 people and saying, boy, would we love to have them
EAA
on board.
Too, of course. Well, a lot of them are EA members, but not yet IAC members. And, you know, another thing is a lot of people who have RVs may not be flying them in an aerobatic envelope. They may be just, you know, day flyers that just fly their airplanes, you know, out to get the $100 hamburger and here and there.
I'm not here to say that aerobatics are for everybody. But if you have an aerobatically capable airplane, simply learning aerobatics to explore the flight envelope,
sure,
it makes you a safer pilot.
Yes, absolutely.
And whether you get involved in competitive aerobatics or not is a personal choice. There is room in IAC for people that are not pilots. As Mike mentioned, there are over 4,000 members of IAC, but there are somewhere around 400 who compete regularly. So only about 10% of IAC members actually compete in competitive aerobatics. So there's a lot more to IAC than just competition.
Did you build your RV with the purpose of competing with it, flying aerobatics?
I was more interested in formation initially. So
and there's a lot of those in the RV community. I mean, we see
it. It's a great formation aircraft. I flew with Team RV and Team Aerodynamics for many years, and we did air shows doing formation aerobatics and enjoyed that. And after I retired from that, I got more into competition aerobatics, which is a different type of aerobatics. It's more precise. You're working in a smaller box, mm-hmm. as Jim mentioned. Yeah. And so it's a different type of aerobatics. And whether you're competing against others, you're also competing against yourself, doing your personal best, doing better than you did last time. So it's gratifying in that respect.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I don't know how else to say it. You just have to encourage people to get out here to the IAC, make it part of your itinerary here at AirVenture. If you can't join us at AirVenture and you're listening remotely on the radio or on our web stream, we encourage you to go to the website. Can you tell us just
real? Yes, it's real simple. Yep. www.iac.org. So
yep. Can't be more simple than that.
There's hundreds of pages of information on our website on aerobatics.
And I'm sure you can join right there, too.
Yes. Yep. And we're offering, by the way, six-month membership free. Go to the website.
Even online.
Online.
Not just here at AirVenture.
No, it's online. If you go there and you check, click on join, a little box will pop up, and it'll tell you what 800 number to call.
Perfect.
With the code. Together.
Perfect.
Okay?
That's great.
6 months.
Awesome.
And then we hope you come back after that, of course.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for having us down here at IAC on your beautiful pavilion here, protecting us from the rain earlier.
Yeah, our porch is very popular today.
It sure is. Jay Monchi, we're on the fly at the IAC Pavilion. We're going to wrap it up, and tomorrow join us at 1 o'clock. We'll be over at Aviation Gateway Park talking about all things aviation education. So, for now, Jay Munchie signing off. You're listening to EAA Radio.